You hear them every day on the airwaves. Enterprising reporters from NPR filing their in-depth reports from Islamabad, from Atlanta, and from Mexico City. And sometimes you hear more familiar locales. The town Orofino in Clearwater County in northern Idaho. The ranches of eastern Washington and the slopes of Whitefish, Montana. And the voice behind those stories belongs to Kirk Siegler of NPR. Kirk is based at NPR West outside Los Angeles, and he travels all across the West sharing small-town life with a national audience. A native of Missoula, he is here with us this week in Boise reporting for NPR. Welcome to Idaho Matters.
Hey, glad to be here.
Tom, thanks for having me.
Kirk, a recent story of yours was set in Orofino. That's Clearwater County in the northeastern section of our panhandle, stovepipe part of the state.
Which feels a long way from here.
A long way from here. So why did you go to northern Idaho, and what did you find there?
So I've been reporting. There's a couple of towns around the country, actually, the Midwest and the West, that I've been sort of profiling and following after the election and in 2016. I grew up, as you mentioned, sort of near Orofino, Idaho, over the mountains in the Missoula County in Montana. So I have been interested in the timber industry for quite a long time and the decline of the timber industry and a lot of the problems going on with it. And I originally went to Orofino, Idaho, because we were looking for a place to visit where some timber mills had shut down recently. And probably I don't have to tell a lot of your listeners that that's not hard to do. That's not hard to find in this state. So we went to Orofino, Idaho. And I've been there three times now, I think, since then. And, talking to people in the industry and focusing on kind of my beat, which looks at the sort of chasm or the divisions between urban and rural life and culture and politics. And Orofino, Idaho is a place that's very remote and is has struggled with depopulation, has battled with all kinds of different issues. But there are some things going on there, too, as well. And I visited there right when two timber mills had shut down right before the election. And so I went back to, figure out or get a sense for what locals were saying about the future and what the economy should be and what the timber industry might look like under the Trump administration.
And we have a clip from your reporting from Orofino. We'll hear that now.
Those resources is what built this country. And you say what you want, but it was all built off of mining, timber, oil. The United States wasn't built off of tech companies.
So that was a gentleman by the name of Jerry Spencer, who's an independent contractor, logger in Orofino. And he's, kind of getting at – the reason I chose that to play for the listeners is that he's sort of getting at that urban-rural divide, right? You can hear him talking about natural resources is what built this country, built this town. Towns like Orofino were almost plotted out by the timber and mining companies. They've struggled lately, and I think I can infer in that soundbite that he's kind of talking about Seattle and Silicon Valley, and they don't make widgets like we do.
Right.
We make products, and we make products that allow the cities to boom in nearby Seattle, Portland, and whatnot. So the cities wouldn't be possible without the rural areas and the rural towns like Orofino, but then, of course, vice versa. You could easily make the case that the cities wouldn't, or the rural towns wouldn't be possible without all of us living in cities too. So
Kirk, your work bridges that chasm, as you said, of urban rural life, and you're making those connections right now. And back to 2016, there were more than a few national editors, wringing their hands, believing that politics and people of the interior, American interior, weren't well covered.
Mm-hmm.
I disagreed. I read great stories from Pennsylvania and Ohio, and listened to your reporting. But I do wonder, what does the national audience think of states like Idaho and surrounding?
Well, I'm passionate about getting to places like that because I think in our national political coverage as a whole, I'm not just talking about NPR. I think NPR is better about it than other outlets. I'm biased. But we tend to only focus on the important swing states, the battlegrounds. And I think that's a lot of what's behind a lot of the disaffected feeling you get in other states and other communities about national politics, because people feel like they're being ignored. The media only focuses on certain places. And, the fact that Idaho is a red state, so-called red state, that doesn't mean there aren't other people of political stripes here. It wasn't always a red state, particularly in some of these counties that I visited in timber country. But there are a number of reasons for why it's changed. But, these are important places where people feel as though they've been left out of the process and are not being heard. And I think the news media after the election had some soul searching to do. But I worry that we're kind of going back in the other direction. We're focused, hyper-focused, laser-focused on Washington, and a lot of people out in the country are not. And that's kind of the great irony. And you only know that when you're out there. And so we try our best to not do parachute journalism, parachuting into a place like Orofino. We want to go in there, understand things, and then keep going back and following up. And that's our goal.
Well, we think you're doing a great job again. NPR's Kirk Siegler. But why are you here this week, right now?
Right. Well, I'm kind of taking a little hiatus, I guess, from the rural West beat by visiting Boise. We're looking at, we're reporting on probably a 3-4-part series on housing, the housing crunch, and the fact that many middle-class people can't buy houses anymore. And I probably don't have to tell you that Boise is a good example of that. There's a huge gap between the median home price in this city and this region versus what the average person can afford. And we're going to start the series here in Boise because you and I were talking offline. I think there's a little bit, when you talk to people on the ground, there's a sense that there's just a little bit of time left to tackle this problem before Boise becomes Portland or Seattle or the Bay Area, even with skyrocketing housing, because a lot of people are moving here, are leaving many of those places on the West Coast. And this is one of the fastest growing places in the country. So we figured this was a good place to start that series of reporting, which will roll out, I believe, in early July.
Well, we talk about that a lot on this program, Idaho Matters. And as Boise looks to Salt Lake City, as looks to Denver, as looks to Phoenix, in orders of ascending size, there are people that have, quote, gone before us. Well, you spoke with a woman named Jennifer St. John.
Tell us
about her.
Yeah, so she is, I met her yesterday when I was out reporting in the Meridian area. She is a kind of, she's the director of a healthcare facility, grew up in Boise, is, you know, solidly middle class, and is trying to find a house. And she's been looking for almost a year. She told me she's picky, but, you know, like, who's not picky when it comes to that? And she's, you know, she let her lease expire, and she's staying somewhere temporarily while she's still looking for a house, but she can't find anything for under $225,000 that's suitable, and she doesn't want to have a long commute. So I was struck by kind of what she says here, which is she's saying that she is probably going to be okay, but she's worried about so many other people who don't have the support network she has. So we can listen to her right now.
And it's frustrating, and I tend to think about it too, that people I know who make less than I do, my employees, whatever, the people that make less than I do, there's no chance. If it's that hard for me to make it and I consider my income above average, how are they supposed to buy a house?
And Tom, I mean, I think this kind of gets at my wheelhouse of reporting a little bit, in that this is contributing to that divide. It may not be the urban-rural divide, but I think the inability for middle-class people to achieve the American dream is creating a divide in income equality and perhaps furthering some of our cultural and political rifts that we see right now. So I think this is very important, what's happening in Boise, and it will be interesting to see how the city and the region tackles it.
Well, we look forward to your reporting on this. Again, Kirk Siegler of NPR. And as a reminder to our audiences, the Boise State Public Radio Newsroom is launching a week-long series called Our Changing Idaho next week, in which we look at the pinch points of growth and also look at Idaho communities that are not growing. And on that note, Kirk, you also cover that beat. You recently went to a river town in southern Illinois because the town was hollowing out. It was depopulating rapidly. Why'd you go there?
Right. I actually kind of went there by almost by accident. I was looking to visit a place in the Midwest that has a lot of depopulation, not unlike Idaho or North Idaho. It's not hard to find a town that's been dealing with the decline of the timber industry and mechanization and whatnot. In the Midwest, factory towns that we hear about in the news, due to globalization, mechanization, and just changing economies and away from the river barge trade, are really struggling. And when I got to Caro, Illinois, in this case, it was also clear that there were a lot of other problems going on. So in some sense, it's interesting to be bouncing back and forth between cities like this that are booming and people are moving to en masse, basically, and then towns like that that are emptying out and really struggling with, do we continue? And the tension there being, you know, how far do we go as a country or a society or as local governments to keep people in places where there aren't a lot of opportunities? Now, you say that to somebody who's lived there for multi-generations who wants to see it rebound, and you'll get a quite a response to that. But that kind of is the tension. And I detect in a lot of places that overall, not to be too doomsday or grim, but a lot of people are not caring about a lot of places in the middle of the country. It's just not on the radar. The politicians may talk about it, but then when they get there, they realize it's super complex and it's just there aren't so many voters. I hear this a lot in rural areas. And this town in the Midwest is complicated and tricky. And you do sense overall, there are a lot of exceptions about this, but you sense that there's not as much empathy in this country as there even was when I started 10, 15, 10, 12 years ago.
On the quarter. Boots on the ground level, you feel like there's not as much.
Yeah. People aren't caring about others as much as, you know, I think a lot of us would like them to. And so it's our job to go into places and keep these areas, these communities on the national radar. So we're talking about them because in the case of this town that you mentioned, largely it helped build this country. You know, these small towns helped build this country. And what's their future? It's basically to be determined right now. So
covering the American interior, we're speaking with Kirk Siegler. Reports for NPR throughout the West, Idaho, and surrounding states.